Happy Father's Day to all. Thank you. Each Father's Day, I remember my own father, who passed away 49 years ago. I was 11 years old at the time. I didn't realize, you know, what it meant to lose your loved ones. So once in a while, you know, I miss my earthly father. So I believe you're blessed if you have your father still around. And I urge you to honor your father, not just today, but throughout the year, because it surely pleases the Lord. Now, like all of us have earthly fathers, we do have our heavenly Father. Did you know that 2,000 years ago, our heavenly Father, out of his love, gave us the best gift ever for every child of God? And it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the ultimate gift of our Father for all of us, for our eternal good. Now, we read the scripture this morning, 2,000 years ago, one evening, the risen Christ appeared to his disciples and spoke to them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's a command. It's imperative, right? So following this command, for the next 2,000 years, both in the East and the West, countless believers like you and me have received the Holy Spirit in many different ways. Now, if I just collect them all these experiences of receiving the Holy Spirit, and boil them down, squeeze them down into two categories or schools, if you will. The first one, it is known as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as known as baptism of the Holy Spirit. The second school or second category, I would say, is known as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as known as the filled with the Holy Spirit. Or the first school known as the gifts, focusing on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the second school focusing on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the first one is dynamic, and the second one is static, external, internal, and the list goes on. So this morning what I'm going to do is that explaining to you the strengths as well as weaknesses of both, you know, schools or approaches, and I'll, you know, close my sermon. Now, first of all, the outpouring or baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, this approach focuses on the coming down of the Holy Spirit upon us from above, from outside. If you remember the Pentecost, you know what happened? 120 people, disciples of Christ, gathered in one place in the upper room, and they prayed, and then the Holy Spirit came down upon them like tongue of fire. And everyone began to speak in tongues, foreign language, basically. Now, this approach emphasizes the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Did you know that the Greek word for gift is charisma? So rightfully, this movement is known as charismatic. So when you say charisma or charismatic, without knowing it, you're speaking Greek word, charisma. It cherishes the experience of God's Spirit in a tangible and dynamic way, such as speaking in tongues, or interpretation of tongues, or healing, or prophesying, and doing the signs and wonders, seeing visions and dreams, and rolling on the floor, and falling backward and forward, and so forth. I don't know how many of you know that I grew up in this kind of church when I was in my, you know, 20s. Now, if you have a charismatic background like I do, and you know what I'm talking about, it is dynamic and exciting and outward demonstration of the supernatural power of God. Now, some people even talk about special feelings like electrifying sensations running through their body from head to toes and so forth. Now, as much as it is exciting and dynamic, of course it has downside. If you focus on too much on this, lots of mistakes and confusions and even signs of immaturity. Now, I'm sure some of you heard someone saying that, you know, I can speak in tongues. Yet their spiritual immaturity sometimes may bring disgrace to God's name. Let me tell you one story. I was in my 20s in 1970s, and one day, I told you that I grew up in this kind of charismatic church, and one day, brother in Christ, a couple of years older than I was, and called me in, you know, can we pray together? Of course, sure, I said. So we went into a room, and there's two of us seated, and in the middle of the conversation, this brother of mine stood up, and lifting his hands, looking up into heaven, and began to prophesy. I mean, it wasn't an unusual thing. So I was listening very carefully and praying, and it was 1980, and it was 2 or 3 months before I was enlisted in the military service into the Korean Army. And he began to prophesy that there would be a war between North and South Korea in that particular year. Guess what? It scared me. Because I'm about to go into the Army, and guess what? He says, uh-oh, there'll be war. It turned out to be a false prophecy. There was never a war in the 1980s, and even now, 30-some years later, there was no war. So such wrong prophecy discredits the genuine office of prophet. So each time someone begins to prophesy, just my guard just is up, because it could be wrong too. Therefore, in some circles of Christianity, such as Baptists, charismatic movement is not welcome at all and often shunned entirely, forbidden. Now, the second approach, second school, it is known as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this school focuses on inward, not outside, inward work of the Holy Spirit among the believers. So what's that mean? The inward work of the Holy Spirit, it means that our hearts are in tune with the Holy Spirit. It means we obey Christ and His commands. It means to grow mature to the fullness of Christ, to lead a life that represents God in every aspect of our life, to think like God, to speak like God, and even to act like God. This pursues imitation of Christ in every aspect and desires to be a partaker of God's character in a full measure. All with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course. Now, what are the signs of this approach of indwelling of the Holy Spirit? You will see the signs of righteousness and mercy and grace and truth. You will also bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This approach, as good as it is, also has downside, a weakness. What is that? It often finds itself static, bogged down with internal focus, like church does. You know, if you focus on too much an internal thing, we're just bogged down. No electrifying experiences, no dynamic movement of the Holy Spirit, and therefore no explosive growth of the church. I'm going to draw the distinction between the first and second approach, or inner work of the Holy Spirit, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. Personally, I do not believe that we can separate the work of the Holy Spirit in a clear-cut way. However, I can say this much, based upon my study of the Bible. The inner work of the Holy Spirit takes place inside of the believer. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit takes place outside of the believer. So far, it is clear. The inner work of the Holy Spirit takes place in the believer's heart. It always brings forth the change of the believer's life and bears the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, like 9 different kinds. However, the work of the Holy Spirit upon the believer from outside is the outward ministry of the Holy Spirit, like the water baptism. Now, you can wash the person outside with water, but you cannot wash the person inside with the water outside. Since it is the outside work of the Holy Spirit that does not necessarily generate the inner change of the believer. who is baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now the person baptized with the Holy Spirit may perform many signs and wonders in the name of the Lord, although his inner personality may not change, may have not changed at all. And here's the warning to such, you know, case. Matthew 7, Jesus saying, "But everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Here's the example he's given us. Many, he says, many will say to me on that day, last day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?'" Now listen, pause and think one more time. I'll read you to you. Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? And did we not perform many miracles? All the signs of what? Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus answers. "Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So even though you could perform everything, wonderful thing in the name of the Lord, still inside there is no change, therefore you could still practice lawlessness in the sight of God. Now here's the question for all of us. Then do we really need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon ourselves or even in our congregation? My answer is a resounding yes. Despite all these problems and shortcomings, it is true that we can grow, mature inwardly. Some of you prefer that one. That is the bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. However, a couple of things I need to point out. First of all, we may lack the power of God known as dunamis in our service in a local church. There's a huge difference between serving the Lord in the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, and serving God without it. It's like a trip. You take the trip to New York by car, it may take about 2 hours to get there, but if you walk on foot, how many? A couple of days maybe. That's how different it is. The power of the Holy Spirit empowers and enables us to serve God more efficiently and powerfully. The second reason why we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is because it brings outward growth of the church. When the church is filled with the witnesses of, you know, Christ, dynamic witnesses of Christ, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it explodes with numerical growth. Now, I'm going to quote one person who's deceased now, Father Archer Torrey, Episcopalian priest. He once wrote, I quote, "If an entire local church were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and if every new convert were baptized with the Spirit as well, and then every year the church would grow twice in number." I agree. "Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit," he continues, "it is impossible to spread the gospel to the end of the earth, even though 1,000 or 2,000 years were given to us." He concludes, "Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the number of non-believers would outnumber that of churches." Isn't that true? "Children of the Christians would become unbelievers." Ouch. "And if the parents were not baptized with the Holy Spirit, how could they educate and influence their children to become authentic Christians?" Sure makes us think. Now, some of you wonder, "Pastor Troy, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How do I do that?" There is no appointed way to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God cannot be limited by or boxed in any human ways. Since our God is all-powerful, He will baptize us in any way He chooses, whenever and wherever, according to His will. Now, some believers, this is what I've observed. I studied the Bible. In every single baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is what happened. When the believers of Christ were gathered in Jesus' name, that's what we do on Sunday morning, with united heart, I hope we all have hearts united, 3, praising God and fasting and praying to God earnestly, and listening to the word of God proclaimed. Here's another case I've discovered in the Bible. Others were baptized with the Holy Spirit when the apostles laid their hands on them. And that's why, you know, whenever I invite you to be prayed for, I ask you to come down and I lay my hands with the hope and prayer that, Lord, baptize this person with your Holy Spirit. However, one thing is for sure. Among all these cases, there's one thing in common. All of them earnestly desired the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The most important thing for us to remember is this, that the receiving of the Holy Spirit is a command. It's not an option. You cannot say, Lord, I don't want it. No. Jesus says, receive it. It's a command because it's good for us. It's not just for the few individual super, you know, godly and spiritual folks. No, it's for everybody. Furthermore, if we believe that we are God's children, I hope we do, and that God is our Heavenly Father, and this promise of giving the Holy Spirit is for us to claim. I pray that all of us would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, as far as, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit inward, is there any particular way? Not really. But one thing we can do is that just invite God to do His work. No special prayers, no special efforts are required, because after all, we are not the ones who fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, right? It's not up to us. But God does, and Holy Spirit does, and Jesus does. Like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, though, we must desire God more than anything else if we want to experience that. We must desire to imitate God in all areas of our life, in our spirit, soul, and body, in words and deeds. Remember, this will not happen if you don't want it, because God never forces anyone. As for closing, I will say this. Consider two schools, outpouring of the Holy Spirit and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They both are right, and we need them both. They are not mutually exclusive, rather complementary. God uses both approaches. We need to just have a balance between the two. So there are some folks in our congregation who are gung-ho for this school of baptism, you know. But please, I'm speaking to them, do not criticize those folks who follow the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, if you rather, I choose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and practice it, then you ought to embrace or consider the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. Again, the command is very clear. Receive the Holy Spirit. All for you, all for the growth and the edification of the church, and all for God's glory. Let's bow our heads and pray. To a certain degree, all of us have some experiences when it comes down to experiencing and receiving the Holy Spirit. Some of us coming from charismatic background are familiar with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But we need to work on the inward work of the Holy Spirit. Some of us coming from the inward work of the Holy Spirit sometimes just stay away from this outpouring, but we need your power, Lord, for the growth of the church. If some of us never heard of such a thing as the Holy Spirit, this is the time you spoke to us, and help us, Lord, to desire and ask for the Spirit of God as gift. Fill us, Lord. Come down upon us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.